All right, Isaac. Well, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, you had a big tour last year. Is that correct? You toured around a little bit last year?
Yeah, last summer for a couple weeks with my band from LA, we started in LA last year and then toured up the West Coast and out to Montana over about maybe it was about 2.5 weeks.
How did that go for you?
Good. Yeah, it's a run we've done like a handful of times now, and so yeah, we were able to get into some bigger venues in like Portland and Seattle, where we've played a number of times now, and play with some friends of mine. Just yeah, it felt things sort of added up for it to be a really good tour. We've done it enough times that you kind of build up, an audience, but also make those connections with other musicians where you can put together a really good bill. So it was great. It was a lot of really fun shows.
And then did you ended at Under the Big Sky, right? Or
That was maybe we played there, and then we did maybe another week or so of shows in Montana.
how was it to play hometown but like big venue?
Good. It was funny because it was hometown, but definitely a different crowd than I grew up with in Whitefish. So yeah, kind of a funny juxtaposition of like, looking out and seeing Big Mountain and these places where I've biked and run and driven by a million times, but then it felt also like I was in a different state in some ways, just the kind of like just how pro that festival is. And that wasn't around when I was growing up, so it felt in some ways really foreign, at the same time that it was in a familiar place. It was
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah, it's really drawn a crowd here. I think it might end up being one of the biggest things we have in the summer, based off of that's my anecdotal traffic, kind
Yeah.
of yeah.
And it seems like, yeah, it's the people, well, yeah, not strictly, and I hope I'm not just speaking in stereotypes, but it's a lot of people who are visiting or maybe are people who have discovered Montana, it seems like recently, and it's great, but or maybe it's like a reason to come up to the Flathead Valley during the summer. There's definitely locals too, but it feels like kind of a different mix than I'm used to seeing in like the Northern or the Palace.
What have you been up to this fall and winter?
I've been kind of I did a, I finished a graduate program in journalism last spring here in Missoula. And after that, I was kind of, even though it was only 2 years, I kind of launched back into all the things that I didn't have the freedom to do while I was in school. And so I went on a bike trip. I've been on a couple bike trips, I guess. That was one thing that I really daydreamed about a lot while I was in school. So I did a bike trip in Idaho for a couple of weeks and then did the tour with my band in July. And then played some solo shows in August. I played a couple shows. Actually, that was later, I think. I went on another bike trip in Spain with my roommate and friend. And then I went on a little, a couple, just a couple dates with John R. Miller. Do you know him?
I don't.
He's out of West Virginia, I think. I hope that's right. And he was just here for passing through Montana. So I played with him in Bozeman, Columbia Falls, and Spokane, I guess. And he's really great. So that was fun. And then I have a leather tooling business, and so do like custom leather tooling, mostly belts and guitar straps. And throughout the fall, that was kind of how I stayed busy. Leading up to Christmas, I've got a lot of work, so not a lot of music stuff. I've been trying to work on new stuff, and I'm hoping to get an album together for the summer to record. With some of the people that I worked with for the last couple albums. I just got back from a 2 month trip in Mexico. That was another bike trip.
Oh,
So I've
fun.
kind of been indulging.
Oh, that sounds so nice. I'm curious what made you want to go back and get a graduate degree in journalism?
I'm curious too at this point. But it was kind of, I guess I applied maybe in 2021. So it's still kind of pandemic was sort of holding musicians back from touring, and the future was a little bit uncertain when that would come back full force. Because I was sitting on an album that had been recorded before the pandemic, and we were just kind of waiting to see when we could go out and release the album and do a tour. And it just felt kind of like it was, nobody knew when that was going to be. And so I was just starting to, I'd been thinking about going back to school for a long time, and this journalism program kind of popped up on my radar, and it was in Missoula. I like to write. It's an environmental journalism program here, the master's. And I was kind of looking for some way to maybe put my shoulder to the wheel or whatever, as far as helping people understand climate change and figure out environmental challenges and stuff. So anyways, it just kind of was, it was in part a pandemic decision, just like try a new direction. It seemed like a good time to do it since there wasn't much touring to be had. So I started that in, I guess it would have been fall of 2021. And then
Cool.
just finished last spring.
That's such an interesting area of journalism and like a super important one too. Like when it comes to like those kind of environmental issues, if you had like I have like my dream list of stories I want to cover. Is there something that like you just have kind of like an idea of something that you'd want to write about, a topic that interests you?
Well, I kind of, no, going into the program, no, I had never really, like, oddly, since I was a English major as an undergrad, and then I've loved, I love reading the New Yorker and kind of long form journalism, and just, like I said, like to write. But I never really considered myself or thought about getting into journalism. It just hadn't crossed my mind. And so I got into the program without really kind of an idea of what I might like to do. But I ended up settling into kind of looking into, I guess, some food issues, like food production and beef production in Montana. Got into the learning about like consolidation in a lot of the food industries, and that kind of, it really grabbed my attention, and in part because so much of the other half of Montana, I'm in Missoula, but the eastern half of Montana is involved in food production, and it's something I just didn't know that much about. So it was kind of a cool way to just get to know the state better and that industry.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. So you've been writing songs as well. What are some of the things that you're writing about? What are some inspirations for you for this new project?
The main thing in the past has been personal heartbreak, and I would love to get away from that. Not just personal heartbreak, which I feel like I have gotten away from recently, but yeah,
That's great.
but also just like get out of that rut a little bit. I think it's, it's like a very self-absorbed thing, but I also know that it has like a lot of, it's very universal, and it's, I don't think that it's, I think it's worth doing, and I don't think it's insignificant. I think it, songs about love and heartbreak are important. But I have definitely done a lot of that, and I would like to kind of stretch my legs writing about other things, just to see if I can, in part. And I have in the past, I've written about places, certain kind of like sort of nostalgia. With this next batch of songs, I kind of been wanting to write more about kind of modern life, and I have plenty of gripes about how things are going. It's a hard thing to talk about in just plain English. But just like I'm kind of a Luddite in terms of some resistance to technology and just the way that that's shaping us. And I would like to get at some of those issues in my songs, but it's a fine line between having kind of a unique perspective and just preaching,
Yeah.
I guess. And I think that is, as soon as a song kind of feels like it's like the songwriter knows what they're talking about and is trying to convince people, it's a fine line. I'm trying to avoid just sounding like a grouch or trying to teach people in some way.
Yeah, I imagine that would probably be a pretty hard line or fine line to walk, you know, because like there's so many great and you know your music, I don't want to like put it in too much of a genre because I know you're kind of like folk and rock and a little bit of here and there, but I mean folk music is, you know, kind of truthful like that, like a lot of songs kind of, you know, not that maybe you're doing something like political, but like, you know, there's a lot of political folk songs. I imagine that when you sit down to write something like that, it can be kind of tough to,
Yeah,
yeah.
it depends on like the angle. I guess you think of like John Prine songs. He kind of like criticizes certain aspects of like his time and American culture and stuff, but it never feels that's the kind of song he sat down to write, like some sort of takedown or political song. It's just kind of his unique perspective, definitely leavened by humor, his kind of just really unique sense of humor, and kind of warm-heartedness. So it never felt like really cynical. But I feel like he got at a lot of those things kind of slyly. That would be the way I would love to do it. So anyways, that's the kind of the next challenge.
Yeah. I love John Prine. Is he a big inspiration for you?
Yeah, I would say so. He's not like he's just kind of, you know, he's just there. Just what he offered was so unique and universal. And I would never like, I don't usually name him as like a first kind of top of the list or top five, but only because he's just, it's so obvious, I guess, in some ways. But yeah, I really like admire how he manages to be, you know, he's humorous. He doesn't like pull back from risking sentimentality, I guess. He's in some ways both really, really funny and also deadly serious about big subjects. So yeah, no, he's definitely, I guess, without really even acknowledging it, he's a big influence and inspiration.
Yeah, you leave his songs and you're like, why am I laughing and also crying a little bit? Like, it's very, yeah, like
Yeah.
a whole roller coaster kind of a thing. I think it was like 2019 or 2018. I'm from West Kentucky, so I'm close to Nashville, and he was performing at the Ryman on New
Oh
Year's
man.
Eve
Ah.
in 2018 or 2019, and we didn't go. And I was like, man, I'm gonna regret that forever. But that's beside the point. So you mentioned he's not in your top five. Who's in your top five of people that you're that's drawn that, you know, maybe not always, but at least right now in this moment that you're drawing inspiration from?
Yeah, the people like I typically would list are like Jeff Tweedy, Wilco, John Hartford, I really love Roger Miller. There's like some, I guess there are some newer people. I've got there's this guy in LA named Stephen Van Betten, who's a friend or a friend of a friend. And he's got a really, he just wrote or released an album a year or two ago called Friends and Family. And it was primarily songs about friends and family. It was like, yeah, songs that dealt with these relationships kind of with the same intensity and specificity is like most people write about romantic relationships. And that's something I've always, it had always kind of been in the back of my mind to write an album about my friends. Again, with the kind of the same depth of feeling and specificity as I've written these breakup songs about romantic partners and stuff. But anyways, he did it and he pulled it off, and I'm really impressed by him. Really unique. Another friend, Johnny Fritz, has been kind of a inspiration. We have pretty different songwriting styles, but he's got the humor down, but also really, really specific details and just a really unique perspective that is inspiring.
This is a little off topic, but you mentioned like great projects about friendship. And I was wondering, do you like Boy Genius? Have you listened to their record last year?
No,
You're not going to
I
hurt my feelings
obviously
if you
I
think.
know them, and I've heard maybe some of the singles, but I know not enough to be super familiar. Are
Yeah.
they, is that what the album focuses on?
Yeah, they're all really close friends, and it's about their friendship with each other. And it's so beautiful. It's like, a lot of the songs, it's kind of like you were saying, like some of those songs that could be about romantic love, but it's actually about friendship. And it's actually, I mean, friendship that's that deep, you know, it's really good. Highly
Huh.
recommend. So. So, what's coming up for you in 2024?
Everything is not totally set in stone, but I've got a show coming up the end of March. So maybe it's moot depending on when this comes out. But here in Missoula with this really great songwriter from Bellingham named Devin Champlin. He's the main songwriter in a band called Sons of Rainier. That's their they've been a couple of years and released two albums, but they don't like tour a ton, and they're kind of, I think the members are all sort of spread out a little bit. So, but they're really good. They've been some of my just favorites for a while. And so Devin is going to come up. He's going to come through Montana at the end of March, and we're playing a show at the Longstaff House. And then I've got a few other shows with a friend, Chris Acker, who's coming through the state from New Orleans. I forget where those shows are right now. I think there's maybe do one in Polebridge, though, at Home Ranch Bottoms. In July, I've been playing bass with this band out of Helena called Ty Walker and the Humanoids, which is an alien band. The kind of cosmic country, like brought to its logical conclusion, which is like the concept is an alien race has kidnapped a human country singer from outside of Roscoe, Montana in 1972, and then they've been practicing for rehearsing for 50 years, and they returned to Earth last year, or I guess in 2022, to play country music and collect, oh man, I'm gonna mess it up. Anyways, there's this whole story. It's really fun. Really great. Costumes is almost the wrong word. And then just a lot of like stagecraft and really good music also. So that's the project of these guys in Helena. And I just kind of latched on last
That's
year.
fun.
Yeah, really fun. So that'll be, we're gonna do a West Coast tour and some Montana dates in July. And then I'm hoping to record this summer
Nice.
whenever I can. It might be August, or I don't know yet. It kind of depends on when the songs get finished up and a few other things. But
Gotcha.
yeah, no big summer tour for me. I felt like I wasn't ready just to kind of play the same set again until I have some new songs in the works. So maybe that'll come together and we can book some stuff in the fall. But right now the focus is kind of on recording.
I read in another piece that I guess I want to ask a little bit about how you got into music. So it seems like you kind of hung around with the Dunnigans a little bit.
Yeah.
Could you just tell me a little bit about how you got interested in music and how you decided to pursue it?
Yeah. I guess I was always interested in music and got my parents signed me up for piano lessons, and then I quit, or I wasn't like sticking with it. And then I played trombone in middle school, and then I didn't stick with that either. And then picked up guitar in high school, and yeah, I got really lucky that Andy Dunnigan, who's now a superstar with the Little Smokies, he was kind of picking up guitar at the same time, and so me and him and a couple other friends would go over to the Dunnigans after school a couple afternoons a week pretty frequently, and just jam and like just kind of figure out the basics together, and in Andy's room. And then every once in a while John Dunnigan would swing in, Andy's dad, and show us like a few new things, and then we'd work on those for a week, and then the next week he would kind of poke in. It was really, I didn't realize at the time how special it was, but I had some other people help me teach me guitar that were really important also, but that was the first time I was really kind of experienced playing with people, and he was encouraging us to kind of figure out harmonies. And I started playing bass a little bit when there was three or four guitars going, and also just kind of a really good role model, somebody who was sang, wrote his own songs, had made a career of playing music. And yeah, there weren't a ton of those people in Whitefish, so it was pretty cool to have that relationship with Andy and John, as I was learning.
Yeah, John's great. I haven't talked to Andy yet, but I got to interview John in December, I think, or
Oh, cool.
January. He was a really fun guy. So I
Yeah,
can imagine
yeah.
he'd be a great teacher. So after high school, how did you kind of like continue with that after high school?
I still wasn't singing at that point, or I was very private about it. I would only pretty much sing when nobody else was in the house or if I was in the car by myself. And then I went to school in Missoula, undergrad, and continued to play with Andy in Missoula that first year a little bit. And then I lived with my cousin as a sophomore, and they played guitar and sang and wrote their own songs. And so they were really important in encouraging me to try singing on my own and singing in front of people, writing songs. And we formed a little band together and started to play out that year, which was my first time ever being on stage. And so that was kind of the next like step, was just getting pushed into it, which, yeah, I probably would have given up on guitar. I kind of plateaued, and I'm not like a shredder or somebody who's just like can stay engaged just practicing guitar. So yeah, having my cousin Frankie really pretty important in keeping me interested in music and turning it from this thing I did kind of just with friends and for fun into this outlet, someplace where I could express myself and write songs. And so from there I started other bands, and then I moved to Nashville in 2013, and that's where I met Johnny Fritz, who was a pretty established musician, and he kind of helped me make more connections. And then I moved to LA a couple years after that, and met the people that I'm playing when I go on tour with my project. They live in LA still, and so those are the people that I met, probably 2015, 2016. And those are still kind of my main collaborators.
How did you like Nashville, the one year you were there?
I had never lived outside of Montana, really. So it was a totally cool, just different part of the country and a different culture and the biggest city I'd ever lived in. And just so cool to see people who were doing it, who are had going on tour and they had record labels and they were fully committed to being musicians. And that wasn't something I'd really had much exposure to. So that was incredibly exciting, and went to go see a bunch of music. I just tagged along with him for the first 6 months, and yeah, it was incredibly exciting. I just wasn't quite at the point where I was ready to like record an album and sort of step out. And I just didn't find the right people. I think maybe if I'd stuck around longer, I would have, but for whatever reason, I ended up finding those people in LA. But I like Nashville. I couldn't see myself there long term. It's just so different from the West in some ways. Partly just access to nature. There really is. There's like the Natchez Trace, and the Smokies aren't too far away. But it still was. It took a little bit more effort than I was used to have to get out in the woods and camp and hike and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. It used to be Nashville. I don't want to say it was like quaint, because it's always been kind of a big city, but like around the time you were there, for sure, it was getting big and it
Yeah.
feels like a big city now.
Yeah, I could kind of feel that too. I didn't know it. Johnny had been there for years, and so he kind of explained some of the differences, but you could tell that it was Brooklynizing,
That's a great word to use.
before your very eyes.
Definitely.
Yeah. Parts felt really Southern, but other parts felt really cosmopolitan, and couldn't tell where you were.
Yeah, there's still some good pockets, but yeah, I can see where it'd feel kind of, yeah, cosmopolitan. All right, yeah, well, I think this has been so much fun. Thanks for joining me and chatting for a bit. We're super excited for your press play coming up on April 5th.
Yeah, I can't wait to be there. Thanks for taking the time.